You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Tonight, the two new videos, shocking images from that deadly siege on the U.S. Capitol as House Democrats move to impeach President Trump for a second time. The chilling moment, this rioter seen punching and smashing glass windows. Members of Congress right on the other side. House Democrats expected to bring that article of impeachment to the floor tomorrow. Tonight, a second Republican senator urging the president to resign. Inside the siege, disturbing new video showing an officer dragged down the Capitol stairs, that mob appearing to beat him with an American flag. It comes as fallen officer Brian Sicknick is honored, his hearse passing by the Capitol building during an emotional procession. Days after his death, flags at the White House now lowered to half staff. Federal authorities continuing their sweeping nationwide manhunt to arrest anyone involved in the siege. And tonight, the new arrest just in. Also developing right now, the vaccine distribution mess. New York opening 24/7 vaccination centers as millions are desperate to get their shots. What we found when we got there. As the coronavirus death toll soars, more than 370,000 American lives lost. A staggering 3,000 a day. The hours-long shooting spree across Chicago, three killed, including a college student. And tonight, police investigating videos from the suspect's Facebook page. New developments in that deadly plane crash, divers combing the bottom of the Java Sea after that Indonesian jetliner vanished with 62 people on board. Crews saying they have located the plane's black boxes. The winter slam, snow blanketing parts of Texas, tens of thousands without power. And the heroic rescue, a rookie EMT running towards a burning car to save a man's life.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
And good evening. Thanks for joining us on this Sunday. I'm Tom Yamas. We begin with new fallout from the deadly siege of the Capitol. Tonight, House Democrats on the path to impeach President Trump for a second time, though he has just 10 days left in office. Democrats say he must be held accountable for his words, the charge, incitement of insurrection. Wednesday's violence directly following this rally where the president urged supporters to march to the Capitol and to be strong. And tonight, shocking new images of what came next. A violent mob seen beating a police officer, dragging him down the stairs. And inside, a man seen smashing the glass in a door that separated members of Congress from the rioters. Five people died, including Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick, a procession in his honor today in Washington. And 3 days after his death, the president ordered the U.S. flag to be flown at half staff to honor him and all the Capitol police officers. Tonight, as Congress heads towards impeachment, now a growing number of Republicans are calling for the president to resign. A very tense week ahead. ABC's White House correspondent Rachel Scott leads us off from Washington.
Tonight, chilling video showing just how close lawmakers came to the violent mob that stormed the Capitol. Just this one glass panel door separating members of Congress and their staff from rioters. This man punching the glass, you can see it shatter.
Everybody stay down.
The reality of the danger they faced now setting in.
We came close to half of the House nearly dying on Wednesday.
And tonight, Democrats feel they have no choice but to fast-track a second impeachment during President Trump's final 10 days in office, demanding he be held accountable for his words.
We're going to the Capitol, and if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is now telling her party to get ready to come back to Washington. The single article charging Trump with incitement of insurrection. He predicted the day would be wild, pressuring his loyal vice president to undo the will of the people.
Mike Pence is going to have to come through for us.
But when he didn't, rioters were later heard chanting, "Hang Mike Pence."
Hang Mike Pence! Hang Mike Pence!
The president tweeted, "Be peaceful," but it was too late. His supporters had already scaled the walls and breached into the Capitol building. Hours later, he told his supporters that he called great patriots to go home. The next day in a video denouncing the violence, a move sources say he later regretted. Trump and the vice president have not spoken since Wednesday. And with his inner circle now shrinking, the president is hunkered down inside the White House, trying to assemble a defense team, looking to Rudy Giuliani and Alan Dershowitz as a growing number of Republicans and former allies condemn him.
He stirred up a crowd. It was an executive branch attack on the legislative branch, one of the worst days in American history.
What we had was an incitement to riot at the United States Capitol.
So you think it was an impeachable offense?
I've said before, Jordan. Oh, sure. Yeah. I think if inciting to insurrection isn't, then I don't really know what is.
The battle lines over removing Trump from office are sharp and hyperpartisan. At least 200 lawmakers support that impeachment resolution, but so far, not a single Republican has publicly signed on.
I hope the Democrats don't go down this road. I do not see how that unifies the country.
7 GOP lawmakers who voted to certify the election for Joe Biden sending this letter to the president-elect, asking him to stop impeachment from moving forward, writing, it is as unnecessary as it is inflammatory, with only days left in Trump's term. And tonight, Republican Senator Pat Toomey now joining Lisa Murkowski and calling for Trump to resign.
The best path forward, the best way to get this person in the rearview mirror.
All right, Rachel Scott joins us now live from the White House. Rachel, walk us through what we can expect this week. The House set to introduce the article of impeachment on Monday, and the president now set to travel?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Tom. And Democrats say they are expecting a vote on the House floor by the end of the week on whether or not to impeach President Trump. It will be a remarkable split screen. We are learning that President Trump is planning on packing his schedule in his final days with events that he believes will highlight the work of his administration, including a trip to the U.S.-Mexico border wall. He has already made it clear that he will not be attending the inauguration, but sources are telling us tonight that he plans to leave Washington before Biden even takes the oath of office. Tom?
Rachel Scott, leading us off from the White House tonight. Rachel, thank you. Now to the investigation and the hunt for suspects in the Capitol violence and that other disturbing video we have tonight. Some 6,000 National Guard troops in Washington right now. And tonight, the FBI is investigating whether the siege was organized and pre-planned. Here's ABC's Kenneth Moten.
Tonight, the disturbing and graphic new video inside that angry pro-Trump mob at the Capitol. A police officer being dragged down the stairs, beaten with poles, manhandled. After he was attacked, even with an American flag, some rioters coming to the surrounded officer's aid. The anarchists trying to break down the Capitol door with whatever they could throw. Moments later, police and riot gear moving in, firing tear gas at the massive crowd. This other new angle showing the moment the rioters violently clash with overwhelmed police, pushing right past them. Fights breaking out. Dozens of officers injured. Officer Brian Sicknick killed. This solemn procession through the streets of Washington Sunday. Officers in tears, giving a final salute to Sicknick. The hearse carrying his body passing the Capitol. Flags at half staff. And the flag at the White House lowered 3 days after he died. Tonight, reinforcements on duty flooding the newly fortified U.S. Capitol. Police and the National Guard protecting the perimeter. Days after that violent siege, a dire warning. A senior official telling ABC News there's a very serious national security concern for more domestic terrorism for the inauguration, possibly bringing extensive violence. More than 10,000 National Guard members, hundreds of local police, and thousands of active duty troops will be there. And tonight, the massive manhunt continues, officials poring over hours of video, trying to identify the groups who violently forced their way in. New video showing an officer opening fire, striking and killing Trump supporter Ashley Babbitt. The U.S. Attorney's Office now leading the investigation. The FBI working to figure out if the assault was pre-planned by multiple actors. A senior official telling ABC News they were organized, coordinated, and had leadership, communication equipment, and paramilitary uniforms. And we've just learned of two new arrests. Law enforcement officials say Eric Gavilek Munchell of Tennessee and this man, Larry Rendell Brock of Texas, both seen with zip ties inside the Senate chamber. Among the arrests, Cleveland Grover Meredith Jr., accused of bringing an assault rifle into D.C. and threatening in text messages to kill House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on live TV. Hundreds are expected to be charged.
Hundreds fled without being stopped. So Of course, it makes our job difficult. That's why we have to re-engineer what happened. So this is a process that's going to take a while.
Tom, the Army Secretary briefed some members of Congress who say at least 25 domestic terrorism cases have been opened since the siege at the Capitol, and the Defense Department is aware of possible threats posed by would-be terrorists in the coming days. Tom.
Kenneth Moten for us tonight. Kenneth, thank you for that. Now to the other major story tonight, the COVID vaccine distribution mess. The numbers trailing far behind the goal amid the fiercest rise in the pandemic yet. Some 3,000 Americans are dying every day. More than 373,000 lives now lost. More than 130,000 COVID patients hospitalized tonight. More than at the peak of the spring and summer surges combined. New York City opening new vaccination sites, several operating 24/7. ABC's Trevor Ault is at one of those new sites tonight.
Tonight, the push to get more Americans vaccinated quickly. New York City opening so-called vaccine mega sites, trying to meet the historic demand. But on day one, a surprisingly small turnout.
We have 40 people scheduled, but so far I've given 10.
This is one of two sites in New York City that's now offering vaccine appointments 24/7. Although it is a bit alarming that on a sunny afternoon, right now there is no one waiting in line.
Today is a small group because it's the first day, but we're starting tomorrow. It's going to be 24/7, so anyone at any time.
So this is the start of what's going to be the model moving forward?
Correct.
The national vaccine rollout has gotten off to a sluggish start. Of the 22 million doses distributed, less than 7 million shots have been administered so far. States like Florida still seeing hours-long lines.
There's way more demand from seniors than there's been supply so far. That will start to change.
In Texas, San Antonio officials opening a clinic at the Alamo Dome this week. 9,000 available slots booked in just 6 minutes, and the city flooded with nearly 200,000 calls.
We're not where we had hoped to be at this point, given the vaccine we thought we would have.
Now President-elect Joe Biden hoping to accelerate the process as soon as he's sworn in, saying he'll release nearly all available vaccine doses instead of saving some for second shots.
We've got to start getting these vaccines out to states. We're going to have production systems that are going to keep up. So there is a balancing act here, but given the time we're in, I think this is the right move.
All right, Trevor Ault joins us now from a vaccination site in Brooklyn, starting tomorrow to open 24/7. A slow start there today, Trevor, as well, with so many in New York needing the vaccine. Are they confident they've done enough to get the word out?
Well, they're hoping so, Tom. The five sites the city opened today could vaccinate 100,000 people over the course of a week if people show up. The doctors I talked to today are confident that they will, especially as tomorrow millions more people, including teachers and seniors, will finally be eligible for the shots. Tom?
Let's hope so. All right, Trevor, thank you for that. As bad as the COVID surge is right now, it's expected to grow even worse. The effect of the holidays, hospitals, and frontline workers are bracing for more people and more patients. One California nurse, a military veteran, says it already reminds her of serving in Iraq. ABC's Zareen Shah is in L.A.
Tonight, frontline medical workers desperately racing to save lives as the average daily death toll soars above 3,000.
I've been here 21 years. And I've seen more people pass away in the past week, in the past couple weeks, really, than I almost like it combined in all of my career as a nurse.
At St. Joseph's in Orange, California, one nurse saying some patients' pain is unbearable.
We're seeing patients who are maxed out on oxygen. They're telling us they want to die, but their families don't want to let them go.
California's surge coming despite having some of the tightest restrictions nationwide. One LA family losing three loved ones in 3 weeks. This 8-year-old now without both parents.
He sat there and looked at her and was like, my mom's in my heart. I know she's not coming home.
This Cedars-Sinai nurse saying the war against the virus reminds her of serving in Iraq.
So it definitely weighs on us as healthcare workers to be a part of, you know, this horrible situation that they're going through.
The National Guard sending in more reinforcements to Southern California hospitals this weekend. Further north, Zuckerberg San Francisco General Hospital implementing surge plans, adding 4 floors, and even that might not be enough.
We are looking at what it would look like to, again, set up field care clinics.
In Arizona, the state with the world's highest infection rate per capita, Banner's health chief clinical officer predicting an even grimmer future.
This is not our peak here in Arizona. We're going to get worse before we get better.
And Tom, here in LA County, COVID deaths topping the average deaths for everything else, including heart disease, cancer, stroke. And Tom, in the LA Times today, the obit section, 4.5 pages long. Just truly a stunning image. Tom?
4.5 pages. What a devastating record. All right. Soreen, thank you for that. Overseas now to Indonesia. Investigators on the scene of that devastating plane crash. They have located the black boxes, and they will retrieve them when the sun comes up. Underwater footage shows divers. You can see them here searching the bottom of the Java Sea where pieces of the plane came to rest. One important clue already recovered, what is believed to be one of the engines. 62 people were on board, including 7 children and 3 babies. Back here at home to the deadly shooting rampage that started in Chicago and ended in nearby Evanston, leaving at least 3 people dead and several others wounded. The gunman apparently targeted his victims at random until he was killed in a shootout with police. Here's ABC's Elwin Lopez.
Tonight, the city of Chicago reeling after a deadly shooting spree that killed at least 3, critically injuring 4. Police say this man, 32-year-old Jason Nightingale, went on a murderous rampage that lasted 4 hours and stretched for more than 10 miles.
We have police confirming there's a person shot inside the IHOP.
Police say a woman was taken hostage by the gunman inside an IHOP. Authorities saying the victims appear to be targeted at random, including a security guard. A 15-year-old girl also fighting for her life tonight after the gunman opened fire into a car, striking her in the head.
Report of a second person shot. We're going to send a second ambulance.
Police eventually cornering Nightingale, engaging in a shootout that killed him.
But for the brave conduct of Evanston police officers confronting the suspect, many more people would have been injured.
And tonight, police investigating videos from the suspect's Facebook page. In one of them, he says he's going to, quote, blow up the whole community. The 32-year-old was known to authorities for more than a decade, having been arrested several times. Tom?
Elwin, thank you. There's much more ahead on World News Tonight this Sunday. The Winter Slam, the system bringing snow and ice to Colorado, now hitting parts of Texas. Rob Marciano with the track. And this heroic rescue, a rookie EMT running towards a burning car, tires exploding. Why she says she jumped into action. Stay with us.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
As in previous campaigns, it's the economy, stupid. We'll be looking at that this morning.
First, though, it's the news, stupid.
It is the economy, stupid.
It's not the economy, stupid.
It's national security, stupid.
It's the hair, stupid.
In 1992, one of the best-known pieces of presidential campaign wisdom was born. It's the economy, stupid. But was it actually the economy that won Bill Clinton that election? In a new series from the 538 Politics podcast, we're taking a look back at conventional wisdom from past elections with a critical lens. Where did that wisdom come from? And does it hold up today? Find the Campaign Throwback series in the 538 Politics feed wherever you get your podcasts.
Back now with that Winter Slam we told you about just before the break. Snow hitting parts of Texas at this hour. Tens of thousands of customers now without power. Rob Marciano joins us live from Westport, Connecticut tonight. Rob, good evening.
Good evening, Tom. Over 80,000 people without power now. About a half a foot of snow falling in some parts of Texas. Austin seeing a record or 1.5 inches of snow. That's the most they've seen in 17 years in the capital city. The snow now, the heavy stuff is east of I-45. It'll be getting into Louisiana. We have winter storm warnings now posted for Shreveport, for Monroe, for Jackson, Mississippi. Let's time it out. The heavy snow gets into Louisiana tonight. It's a heavy, wet snow. That's why we have the power outages, and that gets into Mississippi tomorrow before it winds down tomorrow afternoon. Certainly some slick roads and more power outages. Tom?
A messy start to the week there in the southeast. All right, Rob, thank you. Time now for the index. The president of Honduras has been accused of helping traffic cocaine to the U.S. Prosecutors citing Juan Orlando Hernandez as a co-conspirator in a drug trafficking case. They allege he took millions of dollars in bribes and used Honduras's military to protect cocaine laboratories and shipments. He has not been charged and has denied the allegations. And the EMT rescuing a man from a burning truck. Take a look. An ambulance dash cam shows EMT Grace Snyder running towards the burning car as an elderly man was struggling to escape. She then gets to him safely. Moments later, a tire explodes. Snyder says she was the first one on the scene and knew she had to jump into action. Finally tonight, a different type of America Strong, the firefighter who found a camera and never gave up trying to find the owner. More than a decade later, the family time capsule he uncovered, and you're about to see.
Happy birthday to you.
Birthdays, family picnics, precious memories of the Stecker family from St. Louis recorded nearly 13 years ago.
Kids swimming in the pool, birthday parties, dying Easter eggs.
The last video taken at daughter Maddie's dance recital. Then the camera goes missing.
At the time, I was just sick to my stomach because I knew there was so much on it.
All those memories gone, or so they thought.
I found some old footage, some clips from a camera that I had found.
That's Jordan Kokel, a Fort Worth, Texas firefighter, father of two. He found that camera after the recital and tried to find the owner. Having no luck, he put the camera aside. But just last week, and more than a decade later, he came across it again.
With Facebook or social media of some type, I could probably find the family.
Jordan posting this, "Help me find these people." Our affiliate, WFAA, picking up the story.
I started getting some phone calls and messages.
Jordan getting that video back to the Steckers.
He was so young.
And in no time, they were opening their family time capsule.
So heartwarming for me.
Their daughter Maddie, then three, now 16. Their son Colin, then six, now a freshman in college.
Hearing their voices and seeing their expressions, it's priceless. I'm so happy and so thankful that I got them back.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Love that story. Thanks to WFAA for their help with that report and reuniting the family with that personal treasure. And thanks for watching. I'm Tom Yamas in New York. Stay safe.
As in previous campaigns, it's the economy, stupid. We'll be looking at that this morning.
First, though, it's the news, stupid.
It is the economy, stupid.
It's not the economy, stupid.
It's national security, stupid.
It's the hair, stupid.
In 1992, one of the best-known pieces of presidential campaign wisdom was born. It's the economy, stupid. But was it actually the economy that won Bill Clinton that election? In a new series from the 538 Politics podcast, we're taking a look back at conventional wisdom from past elections with a critical lens. Where did that wisdom come from? And does it hold up today? Find the Campaign Throwback series in the 538 Politics feed wherever you get your podcasts.